Weekly stock market update, friends, and a heck of a lot to update you on. So let's just dive right into it, shall we? If you're wondering why Bitcoin's doing so well recently, it is this. By the way, beware of fake accounts pretending to be me trying to get you to do Bitcoin stuff. It ain't me, whether it's on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok. Total debt of the US government keeps going up. So the idea amongst Bitcoiners is there's a total debasement of the US currency, which isn't true, and therefore Bitcoin should go up. So perception becomes reality, and of course your Bitcoin holdings will be doing rather well. What I also touch upon in this weekly update, as well as individual stocks, what I've bought, what I've sold, is some of the problems with pensions, in particular if you're with St. James's Place. I should have said a lot sooner, just short the stock and get the hell out of there, but I didn't. Now, where are we with the next trillion-dollar companies? I will and have discussed this on various social media, of which ones are most likely to get to a trillion next in dollars. These are all their valuations in pounds sterling, so you can do the maths in your head. And I've discussed some of these and which are the most likely, as I say, and I will continue doing it. I sold out of my Salesforce holdings only because it's had a great run and it's overbought and coming off a little bit as well. Okay, some of these further down will take longer than others, but I mean, something like Cisco will take quite a bit of time to get up there. Intel's too squidgy. Whoops, all of these bottom three will eventually get there, but eventually, of course, could mean 100 years. It won't mean 100 years. But if IBM get into quantum computing in a better way than they've done so far and stop being so stodgy like Intel, they will get there quicker. We had our events. I'm going to be hosting more events in Parliament. I'll come to the stocks in a second, so keep an eye out for those. And more dinners for my Great Investments Program people. So basically, we'll have interesting speakers, Parliament, and then after that, we'll do dinners. And we just finished that one, which was fantastic. I've got one coming up for my Great Investment Program holders, which will be held at my inn, Lincoln's Inn. That's what it looks like. So if you're on the Great Investments Program and you haven't been to one of my investor dinners before, with my compliments, let me know. That was the last one. That was our Parliament event. Before that, I was did an event for Wales in India, and we had the dinner. Now, let's talk pensions and stocks and what I like, what I don't like. This poor lady who looks like Liz Truss, just one reason alone to be considered a poor lady, thinks she's going to be paying into a pension until she dies. That's because pension firms don't give you a return. It's as simple as that. And that's the key reason why. So let's see if with this we can change it. And these are the main complaints that people have about their pension companies. Right now, how's the week gone so far? This is what's happened. You're paying $30 for every forecasted dollar in profits for Microsoft. You're paying $32 to buy Amazon for every future dollar in earnings. So why would you not just pick telecom services like Verizon or AT&T or energy companies, or just financial services, or some of the healthcare ones, which are clearly cheaper? That's because valuation is only one factor that moves stock prices. Revenue growth is also important. For instance, profit growth is important. And that's why people pay more for Microsoft than for the others. Imagine these were real estate. So why are you buying Mayfair and not just the old Kent Road on Monopoly? Okay, and that's the reason why that we don't just look at valuations, we look across the board. Now, these are some of the stocks I'm going to cover in this webinar. So for now, for this TikTok video, YouTube video, so I won't go into them in detail now. It is, as I explained, why we look at, for each company, its value, its growth, its income, which is here. We rate and rank that across 10,000 companies. Eugene Fermi got a Nobel Prize in economics for working out you should be looking at a larger pool of companies. Cash return on capital invested comes from Goldman Sachs Wealth Management. If you've got 50 million, they'll do this calculation for you. You want companies in the top quartile because they average 30% per annum returns over the long term. Not every company, not guaranteed, not every year. On average, as a basket, companies in the top quartile do that. We want momentum. That comes from the hedge fund industry. Look at research out of AHL, Winton, Sortino, and Alpha. We want to tick those boxes. You can Google that yourself and why that's important in the hedge fund industry. as well. So how's the past week been? Well, as you can see, Nvidia's still up there, Broadcom up there, but some of the big ones have taken a hit. So let's look at whether we should be worried at all for any of these, if we've got some early warning signs, and where else we might want to park our money, if at all, anywhere. So we'll have a look at those. I'm not going to talk about exchange-traded funds in this, but I will do that in a future webinar, and you can see the areas that I'll talk about there. So markets year-to-date. Year-to-date, Standard & Poor's is up 6, NASDAQ's up 6% as well. The Dow's up 2.3. If you are British and watching this and you're in a workplace pension or with St. James's Place or wherever, such as that, well, you've probably already lost money so far this year. Go ask them. Overall, sadly. So that's the UK markets down. The others are up. What's leading the way? Now, this is important to realize. Now, we didn't bet at the start of the year here, January 2nd, we didn't bet which of these horses would win. As it happens, communications has, financials have, technology has, and healthcare has, as have industrials. Okay, they've been the big leaders. Well, we do it bottom up. We just look for companies which are undervalued, high growth, dividend yielding. And you might say, well, how does that work for you? What do you think? If they're undervalued, high growth, dividend yielding, with good Sortino, good average performance, very little downside risk of missing it, high alpha, i.e. when the market moves up, they move up more. When the market falls, they don't fall as far. What do you think? Is there something we've missed? Oh, I know, rumors or meeting the directors who can tell us how wonderful they are. So what happens is we take a bottom-up approach, and so we ended up with a whole load of these, because they were the ones which were showing those characteristics and why they've been outperforming anyway. Put another way, we will tick the momentum box. It's those companies with strong momentum which have done the best. It's companies which are high growth have done the best. That's why we tick every single one of the boxes, because at the start of the year, we did not know which of these horses will win that race. And we didn't bet on all the horses. That'd be stupid. That's what wealth managers do, which is why they're rubbish. Because by betting on every single horse, they can say to you, oh, look, we got some right. It's idiotic. Instead, what we do is we say, no, we bet on a subset of what ticks every single box. Momentum, growth, value, income, cash flow, Sortino, alpha. If you think there's something we've missed, I'd really like to know what that is. Okay. Anybody who knows anything about, well, business, investing, will know those are the factors you should have been looking at to begin with. It's self-evident. It's obvious. But fund managers won't do it because they want to sell you a momentum fund. They want to sell you a high dividend fund, a low volatility fund, a small cap fund, a value fund, a core fund, a large cap value fund. They'll create a fund out of all of this because they've marketed the hell out of their company. And they'll put they'll bet on every single horse. And then they'll tell their IFAs, bet on every horse. Oh, look, we won some. Well, you didn't win enough, and that's why your performance is stuck at 4.5% a year. Speaking of 4.5%, over the last 12 months, oh, look, 4.5%. Go ask your IFA, what should I target? And they'll tell you 4.5% because they're that crap. When you ask them, well, why not 10 times more than that? They'll laugh their asses off. And then tell them, but that's what the NASDAQ just did last year. Doesn't do it every year. Happened to do it last year. The S&P was up 25%. Like I say, the UK markets are up 4.5%, which is exactly the number on the nose, which your IFA and wealth manager and your pension fund wants you to hit. They want to, I don't know, maybe they just want you to keep poor. Well, they want you on the intensive care unit so they can keep charging their fees and drinking that blood out of your veins called fees. Okay, so this is just more out of interest. Top 10 S&P 500 stocks. We're going to touch upon Applied Materials a bit later on. I own Charles River. Just so you know, I still own Nvidia. I'll talk about that in a second as well. These were the bottom performers in the S&P. So it just shows you can't just throw darts at a dartboard and think everything's rising, because everything isn't rising, as you can see here. And we'll come to some of those in a moment. If you're into the UK, this is it. Well, that only tells you momentum, so don't go crazy about that. I've done a video, I think, already on Rolls-Royce. Basic bottom line with Rolls-Royce has just become such a big momentum player. And so many of you ask me is if it drops X percent, e.g. 10%, 15%, 20%, you sell Y percent. Y percent will depend on your risk appetite. It's the only way to look at Rolls-Royce right now. Okay, they're the bottom 350, as I said, shorts at James's Place. I mean, I've been banging on about it, and they've lost you money, not just in the funds they pick, but actually in themselves. How good are they? I'm going to do this in two parts because we're going to hit the 10-minute thing. So in the second part, I'm going to go through the S&P 500 and the individual stocks as well.